Hey friends, this is Shadima, also known as the Type A Hippie, and this is the Type A Hippie Podcast, Cheekcast, episode 15. So I wanted to talk briefly tonight. It's Christmas night, and I'm just kind of winding down, and I thought about what we've done over the last, 4 weeks. Kind of crazy that I began this podcast on Thanksgiving 2016, and this is Christmas 2016. And so initially I introduced myself to you all, and then next was all about safe spaces and what that looked like. Finally, why it matters to have a safe space, and my encouragement for us to go love one another. And then what does love really look like, and talking about privilege and how most of us have privilege in at least one area and what we can do with that, and that the privilege is for one another, not for self. The circus of an election cycle has taken its toll on all of us, and how do we have these difficult conversations with loved ones that may not agree with us or may not see life or the world the way we see it, and how do we make do, what do we do? And then the inevitable opportunity for growth through making amends, because I know I'll probably say something that offends you. And what does that look like? How do I make amends? How do I move forward, prevent myself from making continued wreckage in the future or in the present, And how do I move forward from there? Talking about self-care and what that looks like, and brought on a guest to talk about that, and there will be more in 2017. Recovery, what that looks like, and the fact that most of us, if not everyone, is in recovery from something. And today we talk about judgment and discernment. I remember when I started dabbling or thinking about the idea, because two dear friends of mine that I used to work with, and at the time we worked together, we went out to dinner after work one night, and we were walking through downtown Las Vegas, and it's common in multiple cities across the country, sadly, that people have less than what they need, and so they may ask for favors or beg, panhandle. And so when we were on our way to the restaurant, I noticed multiple people that seemed to be homeless on the streets asking for money or food. And on the way out of the restaurant, we saw more of the same. And I had a leftover container, so did one of my friends. And she ended up giving hers to someone who was asking, and somehow we started talking about giving food or money to people that may or may not need it. And so I said, because of some of my own lived experience and my belief system, I do not give money. I've only done it once. I don't give money to people because I'm just not sure where that money is going. And if it's going to food, that's one thing. I would prefer not participating in giving someone money for alcohol or drugs. Whether or not they have a problem with it, I just feel really uncomfortable contributing to that. And so my friend said, that's judgmental. And I said, no, it's not judgmental. It's discernment. And as I've done some more research, I realized that she was correct and I was correct. And so discernment is the ability to judge well. In a faith context, perception
in the absence of judgment with a view to obtaining spiritual direction and understanding. I've taken so many spiritual gifts, tests, and discernment is one of my spiritual gifts, along with the unsexy administration. So I would be great behind the scenes helping you get organized. And I've got discernment amongst other things. So discernment is the ability to obtain sharp perceptions or to judge well, or the activity of so doing. In the case of judgment, discernment can be psychological or moral in nature. Within judgment, discernment involves going past the mere perception of something and making nuanced judgments about its properties or qualities. Considered as a virtue, a discerning individual is considered to possess wisdom and be of good judgment, especially so with regard to subject matter often overlooked by others. So in a faith perspective, someone may say that it has several meanings. It can be used to describe the process of determining God's desire or will in a situation or for one's life, or identifying the true nature of a thing, such as discerning between good and evil. Sometimes it describes the interior search or internal search for an answer to the question of one's vocation, namely determining whether or not God is calling one to the life, to the married life, single life, consecrated life, ordained ministry, or any other calling. So, in terms of difficult conversations, I have heard many times people spout out, specifically during this circus of an election cycle, that a family member or a loved one is judgmental. And what's interesting to me is that if I step away from the two major political parties in particular, and I listen to supporters on either side of the two major candidates, they sound a lot alike in terms of their belief that another side is judgmental and closed-minded or narrow-minded or what have you. And I just think that's really... I think it's really interesting because it is... How do I put this? It just shows me that there are more similarities than differences when people are willing to take a look at the entire picture and not just from their side. I remember in 2012, so almost 5 years ago, I started with a company with whom I currently work. And so I started in a different role in Las Vegas, and I became friendly with and friends with a gal who is no longer with the company. And she was not very healthy emotionally. And instead of me helping to bring her up, I allowed myself to be pulled down. And because of that unhealthy friendship, it was a snowball effect. So I started dating someone who was not really healthy for me. I started to have an inappropriate relationship with someone else. And it was just a whole lot of hurt that I brought on myself and into my life. And so I was really into this man that I was dating. And I don't really know how much he was into me. I know that he was into me about certain things. And I painted red flags green. I used to call red flags pink flags. I just wasn't in reality about what was really going on. I was not discerning at all. I was not judging well.
and I was placing myself in a position to be hurt, truly. And so we dated about 4 months, and I ended things because I was like, this is just not a safe or healthy place for me. And I remember serving in a ministry in which I was a part at the time, and I remember thinking that I needed to let the core team know that I was not in a capacity or in a place or position in which I could serve well. And I am grateful for one of my dear friends who was also a part of that ministry at the time, who allowed me, actually two of them, they helped me process, and at the same time, they let me be still with the divine. So I was able to heal tremendously because I wasn't thinking about myself 100% of the time, and I was being of service to others. And at the same time, I would be on my mat and I would weep and I would just get raw and naked about what was going on, but just with God. It was my safe space on my mat where I could move through the pain and the grief in solitude and posture to God in a way of surrender, because that's what I need to do. And I found that over my life, it's been a series of surrenders. So fast forward to January 2014, about a year and a half after we ended things, and this man comes back into my life. At this point, I've done a lot of work on myself, a lot of writing, a lot of reading, processing, being honest about where I was at the time and what led to that relationship, and then the subsequent healing afterwards. And we started getting to know each other again, and I decided this time I would keep a completely open mind, yet I would be honest and discerning and judge to determine whether or not this person was someone that I needed to be or that I should be in a relationship with. And so he asked me to be his girlfriend and told me that he wanted to be in an exclusive relationship with me. And I'll tell you that I would have given anything for him to have said that in 2012. And when he said it to me, I just wasn't convinced that it was the right situation for me. And I didn't give him any answer right away. And about 3 weeks into him asking me, he says, I'm kind of irritated that it's been a month that you haven't, and you haven't responded. And I said, well, actually it's been 3 weeks. Number one. Number two, I think it's probably safe for you to take, oh, and then he was threatening to start dating other people. And I said, please, by all means, do not let me get in the way of what you need to do. Date other people if you need to. And you should probably take my absence of an answer or my silence for an answer. I mean, don't threaten me with a good time. If you need to date other people, please do that. I'm not going to get coerced or threatened into being your partner. It's just not going to happen. And we parted ways for the probably final time. We haven't been in contact since then. And that was definitely the right thing for me to do. And I had to make a judgment call. I had to see if anything had changed on his part, which nothing had. And I realized that because I said, have you done any work on yourself since we last dated? And he said, I've gone to therapy. And I said, how many times? And he had been to therapy like once or twice. Once or twice, two sessions of therapy generally is not enough to do work. And I had been doing work, you know, and it's okay if he doesn't want to do work. I just cannot afford to throw my life away like I had done before. Because I cared more about him than I cared about myself. And that is not a healthy place in which to be. And so it leads me back to what we started talking about, judgment and discernment. And at first I thought it was judgment versus discernment. When I was even thinking about topics to kind of tie into what we had already started talking about, I say throughout this year, like it's been a long time. So topics that we've discussed since Thanksgiving a month ago. And originally, so I have a list of topics and a list of, you know, it's kind of like my planning board, if you will, my notes. And I thought that I would do, the topic would be judgment versus discernment. And now I realize they're cousins, if you will. And I'm okay with that. So when people say that people are judgmental, people have to make a judgment. It's like in dating. So apart from, so dating apps, if you have used them or even if you haven't, or even LinkedIn, if you are an employer, you have to make a judgment on a person. And you don't have as much information as you would like. So initially you have a cover letter and a resume, maybe just a resume. And generally now, like larger companies have programs that they use to search for keywords to determine whether or not it makes sense to bring someone in for maybe even a phone interview. And then after the phone interview, perhaps the next step is an in-person interview. And then perhaps they'll meet with even more people, you know, and they'll continue down the road to hopefully having the company extend an offer to an applicant or a candidate. Now, there has to be judgment there. You have to determine if this person's qualified. And then once you meet them, you have to determine whether or not their personality will match the personalities that are already currently employed within the company, right? So it's not all bad. I think where we run into problems is when people prejudge on the basis of something that's outside of someone's control, right? So like religion, color of skin, educational level. And I don't mean in terms of an employment scenario. Where someone lives, someone's nationality or citizenship status. Those are things I believe that get in the way and are probably what people are referring to when they say you're being judgmental. So how do we flip this? We go back to what we had talked about. I get to use my podium of privilege, wherever podium that is, and I stand behind that and I say that I'm going to call out this prejudice. Now, if you are judging and judging well or utilizing discernment, you've gotten still, you're meditating and praying, you're seeking a power that's greater than yourself in solitude and silence so that you can get some information or get reconnected to the information that's already within you, that intuition, that still small voice, that's one thing. However, if you're doing any number of the things that I talked about in terms of prejudice, discrimination, prejudging, without getting all of the facts straight or the facts at all, that's a different scenario. And so that's a scenario in which we as a community need to stand up and say, no, we're not going to participate in this. One of my sweet friends, we call each other sister wife, Stephanie, she sent my other friend Mandy and I a video of a guy who was talking crazy, some white supremacist crap. And this other guy was standing in his face. So every time this one guy would speak, because he has freedom of speech and he would be talking crazy, the other guy would just yell, no, because he has freedom of speech too. So they both messages were kind of lost, but I think it's funny. I mean, just the visual is funny. And so if someone is talking crazy, like I mentioned, we can all stand up and say no. However, if someone has a valid point, you know, and is making a choice that they feel is comfortable for them, and I'm not talking about hateful choices, I'm not talking about prejudice and prejudice or any of the isms. I'm talking about making a judgment call. Do I work here? Do I not? Do I continue this friendship? Do I not? Do I continue this relationship, romantic relationship, or do I stop it or end it? Those sort of things. So, taking that time, stepping aside, being silent and quiet, because there's no time, no place, no state where God is absent. From A Return to Love, Reflections on the Principles of A Course in Miracles by Marianne Williamson. I ended up checking the book out again because I didn't even read any. I mean, I read pages out of it. And I really feel like I need a return to love. I need a recharge. I need a restart before 2017. And I actually picked up A Course in Miracles as well from the library. So I'm really excited to get busy with that. So this is one of the last podcasts of 2016. You all have been amazing. I'm so grateful that it's taken off as it has in the last month. I honor the place within you where the entire universe resides. I honor the place within you of love, of light, of truth, of peace. I honor the place within you where when you are in that place in you, and I am in that place in me, there is only one of us. My name is Shadima, also known as the Type A Hippie. Have a blessed rest of your Christmas. Namaste.